All right, everyone. So, after navigating through numerous problems with my main provider, Blog Talk Radio, we have Skype to the rescue today. And as I was expounding on my earlier show, saying that I have met many fascinating people in Manhattan, but not just because they're fascinating or unique, but because they are achievers and they actually do things. And they go off the grid and try different things. And this gentleman is no exception. This is J. Samuel Ryan. And correct me on any of this, Sam, if I am wrong. You have three short films out. They're titled An Inconvenient Ruth, not Truth, Ruth, Tylenoxycateroid, I got it right, and Candy. That one's nice and simple. With a fourth one coming that he will soon tell us about. He is also a traveler. We'll talk a little about that. He also appreciates all kinds of movies as well, and those, along with his experience of living in New York City, probably contributes to what his themes are in his movies. So welcome aboard again. And
Hey.
we haven't talked in over a year.
Yeah.
That was our last show. And you were at the time you were just laying the groundwork for Candy. Right. So that is your latest work, Candy. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, well, I think you'll have plenty to add to the table because you're an actor in it as well.
That is correct. Did some dialogue.
Yeah, well, I just recently finished editing it, almost close to a month now, maybe a few weeks ago I finished it, and it's already out there in the film festivals, and I'm just hoping for a good turnout, and I also submitted it to this internet channel called Cineplay TV, where you can also find my first two films, and if they accept it, it might be up for some potential awards at their upcoming awards ceremony this October.
Nice, nice. Now, are the other two films also available the same way? Cineplay?
Well, they're gonna be actually this is a big turning point for Inconvenient Ruth and Tylenoxycateroid because I sent them to this new internet channel called The Filmmaker Network, which you can just find at www.thefilmmakernetwork.com. And this Saturday, March 31st, which also will be my 34th birthday, it's
Happy
also
birthday.
thank you. It's going to be also the day when the Filmmaker Network is going to broadcast both Inconvenient Ruth and Tylenoxycateroid for their pay-per-view event. And what's special about that is that this will be the very first time that both of these films could potentially make a profit. You know, it never made money before, no matter what it was part of, and this could be its big chance on actually making some money instead of just awards, you know?
Right. So that must be. Now, I mean, for many people, they would kind of get disheartened by that because you have to put down some funds to studio time, actors, etc. Was that a problem for you for the first two? Did it discourage you?
Well, thankfully, everyone was okay with working without any particular fee in mind. And I think it's all because, you know, the industry, you know, it has a bunch of twists and turns, and, you know, you don't know if something will be good or bad. So you just have to try to, you know, make the necessary compromise. And that only goes not only just for casting, but even for location scouting as well. Because some of the locations I definitely had to put some money into, but thankfully it wasn't an arm and a leg type of fee. So it really worked out financially.
Right. Now, I think we went over this the last time. How did you get started in all this? I mean, you know, in terms of education, background,
Well,
etc.
I took my media studies classes at CUNY Queens College, and I graduated in 2014. And after that, you know, when you finish with college, you start to ask yourself, how can you get started, especially on an industry like the entertainment industry? So I went to the networking events, met some nice people, exchanged business cards with them. But as a running theme, as I saw, and still a kind of a running theme to this day, you meet people who they're ambitious and they're definitely good natured and have good intentions, but sometimes you don't feel the ambition with them, and sometimes it tells within how they work or even if they'll work at all. You know, they'll say one thing and do another. So after so much of dealing with that nonsense, I decided to just branch out on my own, just be my own boss, and if I have to wear every hat in a project, then so be it. And that's how Inconvenient Ruth got born, and so forth with the other films.
Right. And by looking at them, you see a little bit of like the New York influence, like the accents, and of course, Candy. We certainly have plenty of traffic signals here in New York, no shortage of that. So it's kind of like your past stuff, and living in New York type of thing. I do like, and again, I apologize for not having them be able to participate actively, but I definitely enjoyed some of the actors who appeared in the first two. It's like they were tailor-made for some of that.
Well, that would also include you, because like I said, you
yeah. Yes, and I do scream a lot in traffic sometimes. But,
well, it's actually worth noting that Candy, even though it's my third movie, it originally was going to be one of the first movies, actually, because one of the biggest influences I got on making this movie was I had just learned film editing when I was in college in 2013, and I was thinking to myself, well, what can you do with film editing in a very unique way? So I figure if you can actually change the traffic light at a precise time that you need it, then that can work with an editing, And the way how I do that with Candy is not only just filming it regularly, but also, and you'll see this eventually when you see the movie, you can see that I did a very cool special effect where I control the traffic light and having it go in all these gigantic, wacky colors all at once.
I like it. And it's funny because where I work for a transportation agency. I won't say which, but one of my fine coworkers has at least the partial ability to do that. But he has to sit in a giant room and push buttons. Yeah. The heroine of our story does it in a flashier, more fun way. But
I can honestly tell you, though, that the way how this movie will look when people see it, you might think that maybe it costs like $1 million or something to make. It pretty much costs me hardly anything. All I did was just pay the actors and just use my equipment that I used from my first two movies. And, I think when people see it, they'll notice cheap special effects. But hopefully that won't hurt me because, we're telling a story here the best to our abilities.
Right, exactly. There was funny, there was little quirky things about the first two films that I enjoyed, and some would even say that they're strange, but I said, no, it kind of fits perfectly.
You should probably mention how you saw the movies also, because that'll lead me to going one of the awards.
Okay, I forgot. How did I see the movies? my memory.
I spread the word when it was up for potential award at the San Francisco Film Festival.
Correct. So not only are you, this is what's even better, not only are you doing these, you're actually getting, noted by the film community, awards, citations, et cetera. So that's good. So San Francisco, any other awards of note to?
Well, before I get to that, maybe it's better to show it to you.
Oh, yes.
Look at that, people.
Awesome.
It looks like an Oscar, doesn't it?
See, that's what you live for out there. It does look like an Oscar, yeah. More muscular Oscar, actually.
It says, excellent narrative.
Beautiful.
J. Samuel Ryan, director. I told the venue what I wanted engraved on there, and they got it.
Awesome. All right.
Yeah.
Very cooperative of them. That's nice.
And and the award I got before this was last summer at a film festival in Alaska, and it won Best Narrative Short, and I'll show that to you right now.
Oh, Alaska.
And, this, along with this award, it definitely stands out as some of my most prestigious awards.
Oh, that is real nice.
It's in the shape of a crescent type moon or something.
A crescent that somebody has eaten from.
Well, look at beautiful. The material. Look at the inside there. Look at that fuzziness or something, that they did on it.
Oh, very detailed, yes. Yes. And that was from Alaska. Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
So you're getting recognition from all 50 states, including the non-continental ones. That's great.
What's really unique about this one is that the venue confirmed to me that there was about 97 short films submitted to their venue, which includes mine, and they confirmed to me that only one movie out of all those got the Best Narrative Short title, and it was mine. So basically I beat out 96 other films for one particular title.
Beautiful. And so you're getting the recognition, you're now getting the profit, well, hopefully soon, the profit, that's good.
Well, that I'm, without Without your viewers' help and with everyone's help, that's how it has to be done. Because what I found out is that whatever profit builds up on March 31st with both of these movies, the venue said that the channel said that I'll receive 50% of the of share on there. And you know, I won't be greedy about it, but I plan on using the money that I would potentially earn from this to possibly finance the next movie.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Speaking of which, now I saw the small promo, the logo, if you will, for Little Stop Sign.
Little Stop Sign. So. Yes, that's going to be my fourth movie, and I'll fill you in a little more about where I stand with that right now.
Okay.
Should I keep these awards here?
Oh, absolutely. It's very becoming, yes.
Okay. Well, basically, Little Stop Sign is just going to be a story that has no human characters whatsoever in it. It's going to be all about street signs, and I'm going to try to convert it into a kid's movie because, well, actually, there's a very interesting story as to why this movie in particular was chosen as format as a kid's movie because growing up in my youth, you know, I used to always like all these different street signs. I remember I was also part of something. I don't remember what it is. It might have been like a county fair type of event or something. But right. I remember it was me, my brother, and a few other kids. We were all on TV talking about some of our favorite things or whatever. And I just mentioned street signs, and you know, that became, you know, one of my reminders about how street signs, even as a kid, grabbed my attention. So I feel that that's one reason why I want to convert it into a kids movie, because I think kids, maybe, you know, kids today, they might have the same imagination as I did growing up in the 80s and 90s.
Right. Well, that's right. Yeah, we grew up maybe I grew up a little bit before you, a number of years. But yeah, I think we kind of appreciated many of the same things, like including one of the posters you have in the background, Friday the 13th.
Yes, that I actually bought at the Virgin Megastore, I think, in 2007, you know, before they became defunct on Times Square.
Ah, okay, I remember that,
Yeah.
So you've been making the rounds as well. We spoke with our wonderful common friend, Janet Zipper, and you've been doing some promotion.
I'll also fill in a little more about how I plan on making a movie like Little Stop Sign.
Sure.
One thing that really bothers me about entertainment today is that almost everything is completely CGI today. You know, it's all computer animation, and right. I know companies like Pixar. You know, I like to make things as realistic as possible. But you know what? My theory is that if you can find a way to be nostalgic, even if it's like not an overly financially produced movie, I say do it. And you know, my movie, it's not going to have like talking mouths on the bottom part of the stop sign. It's just gonna, you know, just cause a little shaking, a little movement to indicate that they're talking, and I feel that'll just be enough. You know, I don't think we need all this artsy fartsy CGI stuff. And some shows that come to mind that I watched when I was a kid, like Thomas the Tank Engine, right. I saw one of their newest episodes a few months ago, and they have like all this animation, this CGI stuff, and the Thomas the Tank Engine that I grew up watching, right. It was about that. It was just showing a facial expression and then cutting away to something else. And you know what? I feel that's all you really need when it comes to that kind of storytelling.
Yeah, yeah. Or what's the other one? Annoying Orange, right? You've seen that one. It's similar, right? All they do is throw their mouth on there and just appreciate, like you say, appreciate the dialogue and appreciate the concept of what's happening.
I remember my sister, actually, and when she was little, she used to have a kid's book that had the trolls, you know, the trolls that have, like, the wacky hair and such. And the book just showed photographs of it in like a dollhouse type structure, and as you read the story, you get the illustration. It's just photos of dolls put together, but it still makes sense for storytelling. And you know, I like that concept. Maybe I wasn't too appreciative of it back then, but you know, now trying to develop my own art, I feel like that it's becoming a learning structure, let alone a nostalgic structure.
right, exactly.
And another show that comes to mind is, I'm sure most of your viewers might be familiar with this, they grew up in the 90s, a Nickelodeon show called Kablam, and they used to have this segment called the Action League Now, which is basically just some live-action action figures, and, you know, they use, like, stop-motion animation every now and then, but for the most part, it's really just almost like puppetry, or the characters just standing still, and there was no facial expression change. You'd see like a female character talking in a very depressive state, but you still see the smile, like the Barbie type smile on her, like this, you know. And you know what? I actually appreciate that. You know, I appreciate the cheapness sometimes. I really think that that it still pays off in the way how the filmmaker would want it. And I do like that. And I plan on doing that with my film. It'll just all the actors will just be voice actors.
Right. And it, like we said, it keeps you to the concept. It keeps you focused on the story, and you can appreciate the little quirks about it all the more. I agree.
Yeah, most likely it'll just be a combination of the way how I'll film it is that it'll just be mostly a combination of signs that'll be right there in the actual shot where I can just superimpose it. But at the same time, though, it'll still come off as a believable story. You'll believe these characters, even if they're street signs, because the actors will bring it to life. You know, the actors will give it personality. It'll give them life.
Right, right. And speaking of which, as I said before, you have some really fun actors in your films. I enjoy particularly Alajita. There's something about her that just like she stepped into that role and it was just like, wow, I sensed the frustration in her. I sensed a little bit of Lucy in her too, because I know that's what you based Talanoxicateroid on. I said it again correctly.
Yes. I think you probably have locked it in your head there.
Yeah, definitely.
What's really unique about the upcoming pay-per-view event is that I created brand new trailers for the for both films, so I can try to encourage people more to buy it. I'll also mention the price to these things if your viewers can throw me a watch it on pay-per-view. But basically what I did is that I hired an actor named Paul Camano to do voiceover narrative on new trailers for Inconvenient Ruth and Talanoxicateroid, and I made sure I put as many of the official selection and winner laurels in this thing just to give the audience an understanding of what kind of journey these two films have gone on so far.
Right, right, and has been quite a journey, definitely.
And in, with one of the laurels in the Ruth trailer, I did include a picture of this next to the laurel so people can understand that it has won not only awards, but awards that have very good symbolism.
Right, right. Okay, yes, definitely. Okay, so any timeline or anything we can expect soon on announcements for the stop sign, little stop sign?
Well, hopefully I can start writing the script soon. I'm still trying to outline an idea, but basically it's going to be kind of like a very kind of like a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer type of story I'm thinking about going, because the stop sign prop that I'm going to be using, I'm going to hire a child for that. I want it to be child. I mean, hopefully, like maybe like around like 12 years old or something, or maybe like I can't go too young because I know
certain child labor laws, yeah.
Yes, even though this is non-union, of course, but I'll still try to be fair and such. And I'm going to also look into various casting. I might even maybe have you be a street sign, possibly.
I'd love to be a street sign. I mean, I've spent my career installing them. Now I can be one.
Yeah, well, when I was busy editing Candy, when I was editing the credits sequence, I learned about a special effect that's in my editing software that'll help me give these characters movements. So because of that, I won't have to be too manual when I control the signs through puppetry if need be. And I mean, I hope if people think of street signs through puppetry, I hope they'll think of this movie as like maybe like a new Jim Henson type of structure or something, you know?
Forget Kermit, we have Yield, yes.
Sesame Street's got their street signs. Even the logo's right. A street sign, you know?
Yeah, exactly, I forgot about that. That's right, they're in the middle of an urban area with tons of signs, probably signs we didn't even see on the set. So,
to let your viewers know, if you can definitely pay for An Inconvenient Ruth and Talanoxicateroid on the Filmmaker Network, it's $1.99 for An Inconvenient Ruth and 99 cents for Talanoxicateroid. And the more money gets built up, I will get 50% of that back, and I'm going to use it for a good cause on whatever I get back.
Right, and everybody out there, I mean, just in general, I mean, I know you pay all this money for cable and whatever else, but you know what? Once in a while, divert a little bit of your funds to the independent filmmakers because they deserve it. They're out there doing a lot of stuff, and apparently doing their own editing too. So you do a lot of your own, or?
Everything. I do everything. You know, if I'm hiring an actor, they'll do that part. But aside from that, I'm doing everything. And you know what? Awesome. These awards would not even exist if I didn't think like that. I'd probably just be scrambling for work that might or might not lead to anything.
True. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, All right. Well, so travel. Well, it's just before we cut this. You took a wonderful trip recently, so you want to mention that or?
Yeah, I was with my parents. We took with a tour group. We went to Scotland and then Ireland, and
Nice.
I saw a friend of mine who lives in Scotland, so I met up with her, and she was really happy to see me. I was happy to see her because we live in different countries and different continents, so it was a nice little reunion for us. And the one thing I didn't really like too much about this particular tour I was with was that there was a lot of fast-paced scheduling involved. They would only give us like a certain amount of time if we made a pit stop, and sometimes we'd have to wake up at like 5 in the morning because the bus will leave at 6 and such.
Right.
So, it can be a little exhausting being part of a tour, but when you're with them, you see a lot of great things. And I think I must have photographed maybe like almost close to 2,400 photos when I was out there. I made a gigantic album about this stuff.
It's funny, every trip that I take, it seems like I break the record for number of photos. I beat the one before by like a factor. It's incredible, but I don't know if I've reached 2,000 on a trip, so that is pretty good.
I'm sure this was a record for me, and I was also able to film a few things, like a few of the cliffs of Ireland, and I was inside a bunch of castles, and on St. Patrick's Day, I kissed the Blarney Stone.
X on St. Patrick's Day. Excellent. Excellent. You'll be making a lot of my viewers jealous because
Hey,
that's one.
I'm sure they drank, and I was kissing a stone. Believe me, I might be jealous of them.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from. So, but that's
The only problem I had on the trip was getting home because New York City unfortunately got swamped with this gigantic snowstorm. And as a result of that, the tour canceled our flight because of that. But thankfully, it wasn't too big of a delay. We were able to get back on another plane about 2 days later.
Ah, beautiful. Okay. Well, I'm sure you didn't mind having another 2 days over there. It's a nice thing sometimes.
I visited the Guinness Brewery, so I had a drink. So at least a total loss. I got to enjoy a good pint of Guinness for free as part of the tour.
Excellent, excellent. And I know you and I are mutual burger fans sometimes, but yeah, I don't know if the yes, there we go. That's it. I like a good burger. Yes, I do eat healthy, but once in a while you got to go all out. But yeah.
I had a few very good burgers in Ireland and Scotland. Pretty much on like
Nice.
a pretzel roll, I had it. And I would also suggest to you New Yorkers out there, or even the ones in New Jersey as well, go to Carl's Jr. That's actually not too far from Penn Station, I think it is.
Right.
They're actually a Midwestern and West Coast type of restaurant, but they just opened up their very first door in Manhattan. I think there's also one in Coney Island now, I believe. And if you want a good burger there or a good hot dog, that's the place to go. I've been going there since I was like yay high. It's a very endearing restaurant to me. It's fast food, but they have some really good deals there.
Yeah, no, there's good stuff to be had. They're one of the good ones, along with the beautiful In-N-Out burger, but you have to go Texas or westward to find that one. So,
I tried In-N-Out Burger when I was in California back in 2015. It didn't work with my taste buds.
okay.
At the time I was comparing it to Five Guys, which is still one of my burger joints.
Yep, that's always good too. Absolutely. But okay, well, this is great. I mean, actually, this may have been a blessing in disguise because now we get to see Sam a little bit personally there with his awards,
Yeah.
rightfully earned, hard work. And I hope that everyone out there who sees this will partake of his work by forking over a very modest amount to see An Inconvenient Ruth or Tylenoxicator Roid or Candy, and pretty soon you'll be able to see Little Stop Sign.
Yeah.
And who knows what the future holds.
Well, Candy is not going to be part of the filmmaker network. Only the first two movies are. But just know this: these movies, they've had their journeys. They're both award-winning. Tylenoxicator Roid currently has one award to its name, a merit award from Canada. And hopefully, now that Candy's out there in the venues, hopefully it'll not only get some selections, but also hopefully some awards to its name, and hopefully will help with the career get advanced a little bit, because I would definitely like to see another one of these in the awards in the shape of these for Candy and maybe Tylenoxicator Roid down the road.
And I hope that for you as well. You definitely deserve it. So, again, continued success, continued wonderful travels, Again, I didn't say it enough before. You have an excellent cast and crew behind you there as well. And I'm sorry they couldn't be here, but we're going to figure out a way to somehow get you talked to at some point in the near future. Mm-hmm. And well, I could, if you want to throw a shout out to any of them now before we cut the.
All right. Well, I'll say to some who I assume would have been with us. Catherine Black, Elahita Jacobs, and also hopefully Patty Mack, who's also a very good actress in Candy and in Tao Intoxicated. Right? I'm sorry you all couldn't have been a part of this. I really wish we could, but we can always just try to make this work later on in the future, and I do want to make that possible.
Absolutely. Even if I have to come live with a camera and get you all in one room and just film everyone. That may happen, because I have to return to Manhattan soon. It's been too long. So, all right. So once again, we've been pleased to have J. Samuel Ryan, filmmaker extraordinaire, traveler, man about town, and
yeah, award winner. I sent you the URLs in the email to my portfolio website. They can visit me on there, and also to the Filmmaker Network. I'm not too sure where the movies will be located in the Filmmaker Network website. So I'm trying to look into that with the CEO of the company, but. But the URL that I sent you, that's the main page on there. So hopefully that'll help if I don't get the information by Saturday.
Okay. So what we will do is we will certainly share this very soon with everyone, perhaps tonight. And we will share any links that Sam wishes me to share, including that. And again, everyone out there, I just hope you will partake of this fine gentleman's fine works.
Mm-hmm.
And J. Sam, thank you again for being with us.
No problem.
And if Blog Talk Radio will allow it, I will turn this into an audio and post it accordingly. So we'll be on Blog Talk anyway.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, like I said, please visit my website. You'll be able to see a lot of behind-the-scenes images of my movies, along with the clips to the links to see the trailers of the movies as well. And that'll also lead you to my YouTube page, J. Samuel Ryan. And, you know, just enjoy or just, you know, drop me a line. You can contact me directly from the website.
All right, great. Hope everyone will do that. And thanks for being with us live here. And everyone out there, check out Sam. And Sam, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Peace out.
All right.
And click.